listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Bonnie Quinn on Bloomberg Radio.
This portion of the Bloomberg Advantage is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. That's 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Paul Smith joins us now. That name will become familiar to you. He's the newly appointed president and CEO of CFA Institute. And we're delighted to have him on the program as the CFA conference kicks off the annual conference in Frankfurt, Germany. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Now, the idea for the conference this year is a new vision for the future of the investment profession. How can CFA make itself more relevant to current investing professionals?
Well, I think we're trying to change the nature of the debate. For too long, the investment world has been locked in this sort of zero-sum game argument that manager A competes against manager B, and then after fees, that's a negative result for everybody. Trying to change that to sort of talk much more about what the investment management industry is really designed to do, which is to achieve investor outcomes rather than to compete with one another. And that's, I think, the contribution that we can make to this debate. What investment managers are about, what investment professionals are about, are trying to help investors achieve their long-term investment objectives.
Sure, and that's, you know, obviously should be the primary goal, but it really is a zero-sum game, isn't it?
Certain aspects of it are. I mean, looking at stock market performance, yes. I mean, if you're competing in the stock markets against other managers, yes, it has to be mathematically a zero-sum game. But that's not the cumulative result for all investors who are out there over the long term of their investment horizons. That's a short-run view of market movement.
So are you going to be changing the syllabus in any way? I mean, are the current models that are used and the current assumptions that are in the syllabus, are they still relevant after the crisis and, you know, 5-6 years into a U.S. rebound that's still not really going anywhere?
Yeah, no, the curriculum's fine. What needs to be added into it, I think, is more relevant content for the way that the jobs within the investment management industry are changing. The mutual fund industry is consolidating really under the pressure of passive investment management, and many more of our CFA chart holders are now in the private wealth management world. So it's adding content really that's relevant to RIAs and other types of wealth manager that is going to really drive the curriculum content going forward.
So give us some more of those jobs that are relevant now that wouldn't have been maybe 20 years ago.
Many more in risk management, for instance, pricing and valuation and private wealth management. Those are the sort of three categories that I would point to there.
Okay, private wealth and so the first level is going to become a lot more important, is that correct?
Yes.
That's where you do a lot of the risk learning, isn't
it? I think that's right. I mean, I think the level one is really got a lot of content in that's fairly vital for anybody entering into the investment management profession. I mean, we believe that obviously passing the CFA charter represents all of the information that a professional who's sort of 4 years into their career needs to know. But level one is really the information that anybody within the investment world.
Now, are you changing the format of the exams at all? Because
No.
Why not?
Well, it works. I mean, you know, it's the old adage of if it ain't broke, don't fix it sort of thing.
Well, is it not a crude way of sort of deciding who would be a good money manager, who is going to be a good investment manager, a good RIA? Is it not turning it into something, you know, the typical, multiple choice question where, you know, you get given a bunch of offers or a bunch of answers. And if you've done these courses that get offered, then you have a much better idea of how the questions are going to make you answer.
Well, I think that's true to an extent. I mean, I do take your point that as the industry shifts, I think, much more towards private wealth management and investor outcomes, that what you'll probably find in the curriculum is that we move much more towards questions that set up scenarios that need judgment rather than just the acquisition of knowledge. So I do think that is likely to be the way the exam shifts over time. But there are no immediate plans to move that way, no.
Yeah, and also the pass rate, it's phenomenally low, isn't it, Paul? Which I suppose is a source of pride in some ways, but you have to wonder, is it the right... I mean, if it's that low, are people genuinely failing to that extent?
Well, that's a great question and one that we get asked all the time. And really the answer to that is that the CFA exam is not a technically difficult exam or not an exam that most people could not pass. The challenge with the CFA curriculum is that it's very large. It's 3,000 pages per level, three levels, so 9,000 pages in all. And most candidates have to take it while working. And their businesses typically give them no time off to study. So that's why it's hard, and studies show that if you actually give people time off, our pass rates go up well north of 70%.
Okay, well, that would help, time off. Also, a trimmed syllabus would help as well, but who am I to say? Paul, you are the new president and CEO, so you're going to get to make the decisions for a while. We hope to speak to you again very, very soon. Paul Smith, CFA Institute.